You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here. Did you miss us? We're back for recaps of the Real Love Boat here on RHAP. And after a 1 week hiatus, we are back. And just because the show's not on CBS anymore doesn't mean we're not talking about America's favorite romance at sea reality TV series. That's right, The Real Love Boat on Paramount Plus. And of course, here with us to talk about it, our amazing crew, of course, the bartender. Here she is, Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I'm great. They couldn't hold us back. We're on RHAP Plus. It's fine.
Yes.
I think it's quite rude of CBS to tell the show to shove off to Paramount Plus right as it was starting to get good. And I think that these two episodes had some meat on the bone. So I'm glad that we didn't, you know, let it go die like CBS was trying to do, and that we can revive The Real Love Boat.
Some meat on the bone, maybe some figs as well.
Yeah.
Here to top it all off. And of course, back with us, the cruise activity director, it's Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad that though our relationship has been tested, we are persevering.
We're persevering. Yes. Okay.
Foundation is strong.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, the big news, of course, if you missed it, if you've just been listening to the podcast, The Real Love Boat has moved from CBS to Paramount Plus. Now, one of the things that I think people don't really understand about this move is like, was it because there was something wrong with the show? Was it because people weren't watching it? Actually, no, that's not what happened. You know, really, network is where like shows are kind of like, if you know, people don't really care. People, it's just like, whatever. But when shows are really good, Kirsten, where are all the best shows? On streaming sites.
And especially on the best streaming site, Paramount Plus.
We That's love right. you, Paramount Plus. I'm blinking. I am okay.
Yeah. Yes. Jenny, because nobody pays attention to shows on regular TV. The only shows, I mean, think about it, that are like that people care about are all the shows that are on the streaming platforms. Hello.
It's true. I don't even have cable myself. And I literally, the only network shows I was tuning into were Survivor, Big Brother, and The Real Love Boat until this happened. So that's one less thing that I have to borrow somebody else's cable for.
So it was poor timing on our part that I had the live know-it-alls in Washington, D.C. And I think some people felt like, oh, okay, I guess the show's not on CBS anymore, so I guess the podcast is canceled. No, it was just a week that was really a logistical nightmare. I'm sure anybody that travels on ships understands sometimes, you know, the coming and the going and the checking in the ports, it can get a little screwy. And so just a little hiatus last week, but we are back with weekly coverage of The Real Love Boat here on RHAP. Still the internet's number one Real Love Boat recap. And it's not even close.
Yeah, baby. It's not even close. They can't touch us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about what happened in episode number 5. And then we will talk about, you know, we're a little late to talk about episode number 5. But we're really early to talk about episode number 6, because these episodes, for anybody who's curious, have been dropping in the morning, Wednesday morning here on Paramount Plus. So we are very current to talk about what happened in episode number 6 of The Real Love Boat. And, you know, it's all very connected, you know, really. That this is a very serialized show. That there is a lot of stuff that happens here in terms of the couples that got picked and the ramifications of what goes on. So this is really like a almost like a 2-episode arc that we're going to talk about, Kirsten.
Yes, and I really feel like the show is getting exciting now. Like I feel like it's always exciting and new. It took a little while to warm up, but we've got some
like
good drama. Exactly. Like that good fire burn, whatever.
Brick oven
pizza.
Show.
Napoleon. I honestly, I feel like the theme of this 2-episode arc is F around and find out. And there was some effing around and finding out
that
occurred.
That's true. I think it would also be subtitled Nathan for You is also.
Everyone.
It was actually Nathan for 2.
Nathan for
least.
2. Really? Nathan for 3. Yeah. Yes. Elisa really did F around and found out here what goes on.
So did Sarah.
But I feel like that Sarah, it was a little bit less of that she had agency in the whole thing. I think she just sort of just got.
She picked Nathan over Dean.
I guess so. Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
And how has so much happened? And now Dean is gone, Elisa's gone, Sarah's gone, but Nathan is still there. What is happening?
I thought we were getting rid of Nathan in episode 5, and I was like, okay, here we go.
No.
No, he's still here.
Yeah.
He's killing it.
Really? Yeah. And like he got like schmoopy music with Tyler in this episode. I'm wondering if maybe Nathan's in the end game of all of this, because we got a lot to talk about. Okay. So let's
that you called it schmoopy music though, Rob, because in my notes I said this music is so weird. Is he going to space?
It was, yes. Well, yeah, maybe schmoopy is the wrong word. It was like an epic score that was done. Yeah. Like John Williams layers, composed the love theme of Nathan and Tyler.
Yeah. I just felt like it was very epic. I was like, I don't know if this is appropriate, but
winner edit maybe for Nathan. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's just touch on what happened in episode number 5, that they went to Italy. They were in Naples in episode number 5, correct?
Yeah.
And so the challenge was head out to make a brick oven pizza. Kirsten, for the first time, the Real Love Boat contestants had a chance to win some cold hard cash. Not to be confused with Cole's cash that I like to hoard.
But who wants $10,000 when you could have dinner at the captain's table with Paolo? Like, honestly, worst prize yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, isn't that always part of the prize?
Well, I feel like we didn't see them go to dinner in episode 5.
Emily and Marty did not get a second visit from Paolo unless they just cut it out of the episode, because what was he going to say? Good for you for waiting
ciao for now.
That would be it.
And then like, Marty would be like, I still really like you, even though you're a virgin. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Please let me touch you. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm struggling.
That is his vibe, though. Jenny, that is such his vibe. Like when they're making the pizza and he's like, yeah, you know, like coming home to like my person, maybe that will be you and our kids. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you have not been on the cruise that long. This is not okay.
Okay. Well, let's circle back to what's going on with Marty and Emily. The task in this episode was that they had to each create their own pizza, which was going to be judged by who were these people?
And they owned a pizzeria.
Okay.
Or maybe a chain of pizzerias.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Gio and Loredana, I think, were their names. Gio didn't speak, but I'm thinking maybe he just doesn't know English. I don't know. He did not speak the entire time.
You needed to make a pizza and it was going to be judged on how the pizza tasted. And also, what was the story of the pizza? Jenny, what's the best story of a pizza that you ever had?
I would say the story of the pizzas in New York City that I did not get to eat because I'm allergic to wheat. Mm-hmm. And every single time I smelled it, I looked at it, and it told a story of pain, of suffering, of loss. And, you know, honestly, like it changed me as a person. But yeah, I guess like they had to go to like the market and get their ingredients for their pizza. And they're supposed to have it like tell the story of them as a couple. And some of them took that, I don't know, in interesting directions. But yeah, so I guess that was what it was supposed to be. But I also feel like the judging was like, not so much about like whether the toppings made sense from the story perspective. So it kind of felt like they were like set up for failure, because ultimately like the pizza that won had like onions and tomato, like the most unimaginative pizza.
It's like in a margarita fairness, pizza.
It was one of the more boring couples that won.
Yeah, because so many issues with why.
Because
they
a
won,
regular pizza just tastes good. You don't have to go
and have a story.
Then why were they supposed to pick ingredients? Why didn't they just give them all the same ingredients? And then they said, whoever makes the best one wins.
Because what does that have to do with love, Jenny?
Exactly.
Okay, come on.
So they had to make this fake side quest where it's about to be like, it's like you have to, you know, be symbolic with your ingredient choices. And it ultimately did not matter. All you had to do is pick a freaking onion and say, it's because we're peeling back layers.
Yes.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
Like Shrek.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so really the big conflict that happened in the pizza making challenge was that Dean and Sarah could not get on the same page. Yeah. Ultimately, Kirsten, it does sound like that Dean did have the right idea, where Sarah was throwing too many things into the pizza pie.
Well, I think that she had some good ideas as someone who loves olives on pizza. Like, yes, I want those olives to be there. But I think when she starts also combining it with, she wanted what, honey as well as like hot peppers as well. It's a complicated situation going on. So, yeah,
well,
definitely overcomplicated.
I think the issue there is, so Dean was like, I just want it to taste good, so let's just pick some traditional ingredients, which probably would have won them it based on how the judging went. But, you know, Sarah was adamant about, like, we need to pick ingredients that make sense for our story and our personalities. And then instead of, like, compromising and, like, narrowing things down, they just both did what they wanted. And then they ultimately ended up with too much shit on the pizza.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we end up with Emily and Marty. They end up winning the pizza competition.
There was giant chunks of onion on this pizza. It looked atrocious. Who wants to bite into a giant chunk of onion that's like not even fully cooked, because it's not in that oven?
Kayla from The Amazing Race. Yeah.
So
I mean, not anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like onion is something you gotta dice. Like it's gotta just be smaller
slices
than that.
Like sure. it can't be literally chunks.
They said that too. It felt like it was like a quarter of an onion on a slice of pizza. It was too much.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's gonna like pull the toppings around because it's not like integrated with the cheese, because it's just a big piece. It's gonna like pull things around.
Ugh. That's representative of Marty, though. He's coming on too strong, and he's really taking up air. And
he's trying to touch
he's trying to
things.
Pull her around.
He's trying to move around.
And if they, you know, went any further, like would start to cry, you know. So that's like you have to kind of leave it in like a big thing. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
you can cut too much or he would cry, I guess. That's probably what happened.
Yeah, so
he cried anyways.
Emily and Marty, we touched on this a little bit. That is, of course, touching is Marty's love language. And starting to get, you know, a little bit of the ick. Feels like that Marty who, but maybe two episodes ago, said, oh my God, I love this for us, that we're going to wait. This is great. I'm so happy. That feels like that there is at least a little bit of a pressure campaign to, hey, we should be doing more than kissing now.
It's like he might as well just be like, which base are you comfortable with? Because mm-hmm. that is pretty much the like
yeah.
the underline of what he's trying to do here. So yeah, not so, and like what it's this is probably like 2 days between those mm-hmm. conversations in yeah. reality.
Well, if that.
The interesting thing that I thought was we had commented on this the last time that they had the chance to go to the captain's table of like, hold on, did they not get the key to the Love Boat suite? Why didn't this come up in the episode? And then it was on the table and Emily is like, oh, should we talk about the key again? And so I don't know if they did. Did you get the sense, Jenny, of whether they went and nothing happened last time?
Yeah. So this is something that I noticed, too. I kind of got the sense that they went and they maybe just like hung out for a little bit. And obviously they went, they didn't stay overnight there. And so the conversation was like, would you like to go again and like spend a little bit more time alone together? And then the compromise was that Emily said, yes, I'd like to do that, but I would like to not stay overnight.
Yes.
So it did read to me that they had gone already, which I thought was interesting that they didn't show us that.
Mm-hmm. But. It must have been even more awkward than this time when they went, Kirsten, because they basically like walked out of the Love Boat suite and practically like had like a handshake at the end of it.
Well, I feel like Emily is a hostage right now. I don't think she wants to be there anymore. She's not connecting.
On the boat or in the suite?
Just in Marty's proximity. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's not clicking with anyone else. She probably isn't.
Are you projecting?
Able to try. I mean, maybe I majorly have the ick about Marty at this point. I find it so uncomfortable, but I feel like he'll say these big sweeping things like, oh, you know, maybe you'll be the person I come home to. And then I feel like it pans to Emily and she's like,
that she's, I do think that she likes Marty. I think that she is just probably a little overwhelmed with like the process. And if she's not like a big PDA person, also like the cameras is like probably stressful for her. Like on top of like having this like very unnatural experience where like you're basically forcing like the process of like getting to know someone romantically, like they're also doing it in front of like a camera crew and Paolo and whoever else. So I think that it's partially that, but also I just think that like Marty is just like raring to go. He's like, I'm going to marry this mm-hmm. girl. Like we're gonna have babies. And she's like, it's almost like a sign of their ages too, where yeah. I think that like for Marty, he's been like, I've been waiting to meet someone that is like ready to settle down, get married, have kids immediately. And while I think that that's what Emily would like, she's also like 24 or mm-hmm. something like that. Like, she doesn't need to do this tomorrow. And so I'm starting to see like some of the differences of like where they're at in life, even though they like really like each other. And yeah, we also hear Emily kind of like discussing the fact that like Marty needs to like lighten up a little bit because he's just like constantly talking like seriously about the future. And she's just like, I just want to pop some Prosecco and like get a little giggly. You know, I thought that was interesting is like this man is like too intense. And maybe it was something that was really nice at first because, wow, it's so nice to like feel like someone is very intensely into you. And then it's like when that doesn't stop and they can't just like have a good time and like live in the moment, then the appeal starts to like rub. Like,
I think and I don't think that he does it intentionally in a malicious way at all, but it comes across a little love bomb-y to me. Like, it's just too much too soon.
The love bomb.
The real love bomb.
Exciting and new.
And like, and I also don't have, like, I feel like I could fully be love bombed because I believe someone would fall in love with me in like 2 days because my self-esteem is too mm-hmm. high. But like, I don't know. I just am getting bad vibes from this.
Okay.
I think that they're not as picture perfect as it maybe seemed. Yes. I ultimately think that they are going to stay together the entire time. Nothing is going to happen. But I don't necessarily think that everything is lining up.
Okay. In episode number 5, that there are two new guys that are going to be joining the cast of the Love Boat.
Deary and Dustin.
Yes. Okay. So we welcome aboard our two new guys. What do we think?
I like that they were older. Mm-hmm. 34 and 35. Mind you, like half of the women there are like 25 and under, but mm-hmm. that's fine. Doesn't seem to be stopping anything. Here's the trouble. They bring in new, I feel like all the new guys are doomed. And like, I think Adiri was awesome. Dustin, I was like, eh, okay.
Nobody likes Dustin.
Dustin is like dusty, you know?
Dusty.
I don't like his vibe.
At first I was like, when they were walking in together with like the music, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, and then it was like one of those things where it's like, once he got closer, I was like, eh, it's not really my thing. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He has standards and I appreciate that. He definitely was not just accepting being somebody's like second choice. So.
I mm-hmm. also don't think he's a liar.
Well, I mean, he is a man.
You're right. Well, because
oh god, that was a joke, everyone. It's fine.
Listen, it was a joke. But if you have problems with it, at me, at Kirsten said what. I have time. I'll deal.
Listen,
with
my bits are just to entertain Kirsten. Like, yeah. I know. She's my audience right now. I'm like, she's gonna like this.
No, and truly, if anyone has a problem, please feel free to at me. I've mm-hmm. got time. But no, because in episode 5, Alyssa and Dustin are talking, and Alyssa's like, we have the same personality, like we both love travel, blah 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 blah. But then in the next episode, Dustin is like, oh yeah, this is my first time ever to Europe, and like I don't think Europe is the only place you can travel to, but based on the demographic of these people on the show, I feel like if you haven't been to Europe, you're probably not that big of a traveler.
Well, maybe Dustin considers like being a big traveler the way that Nathan considers being a foodie.
Of course.
He's like, I love pizza and wings.
Nathan should have been so good at the pizza challenge. He's a foodie.
It did seem like they were having fun and like being goofy in that challenge. Mm-hmm. I actually was like, oh, do I like Nathan? And then it went away pretty quick, but it was a brief moment in time.
Okay. So there's a little bit of drama with Adiri and Shaylin. He comes in, kind of calls his shot right away. Shaylin is like, oh, this is the type of guy I go for in real life. Older guy, kind of impressed. But I think the story of the episode is going to be like, but if that's what you do in real life, how's it working, Shaylin? Mm. Think about it.
Like, why are you here?
Why are you here?
If that's what you've been doing, are you going to get what you want just continuing to do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that they were like, they definitely were trying it here. Like, the producers are being like, okay, Adiri is like the kind of guy that Shaylin would go for, and he's really going to like her. And we all know that like the only thing that Shaylin really points to with Daniel is that he's younger. And you can tell that that's like something she's like a little bit insecure about. Even though Daniel is constantly like showing that he's like very mature. I think that they're like, okay, let's bait Shaylin with this like man that comes in and is just like, I am a man and I am older and I am going to let you be a powerful force and we'll be a power couple. Like, they definitely were like, this is the kind of thing that she's insecure about that Daniel doesn't have. Is this enough to like pull her away?
Nothing is
going to be enough.
And I think that's what's wrong with the show, because in a love show, there will inevitably be couples that are super secure, and you can kind of tell, like, you're probably not going to be able to make progress there. You need the new people coming in to be like sharks. They need to smell the blood in the water, and they need to go for the weak relationships to split that up. Because everything with the, like, Dustin, Alyssa, Sarah, Dean, like, all of that is very entertaining. And we just need them to be attacking the weaker couples so that there's mm-hmm. more movement.
Yeah. I almost feel like that once you find your person, like they should let them off. Like, okay, Daniel and Shaylin, you found each other. All right, you're good. You graduated. Okay.
Right.
And because they could stay on the boat. But
look, here's the thing. Rob, I completely agree. I like Daniel and Shaylin. I think that they're way more fun to watch than Marty and Emily for a couple that's very established. But at the same time, it's like, okay, if a person has come in and you've gone on a date with them and then you're still choosing that other person and you're basically saying like, no one's going to come in and take my attention. Okay, go in. We're letting you off in Naples. and like enjoy your time. Because, but I also think one of the issues with the show, which is maybe why it doesn't, and perhaps I'm comparing it to a show that it's not even trying to be, but I think that some of these people, especially the women, are just too normal and like level headed and like are not, you know, just gonna do what is the most exciting and like dramatic thing. And they're like, hey, I like this person. This is going well for me. This is working out. I would like to get to the end of this. And they're sticking with that. Whereas I think like in some of the other shows where you have like the young people that are trying to become influencers and are like, you know, they're getting drunk every night. They're like, I'll hook up with whatever hot guy comes in next or whatever. And we're not really getting that with these kinds of people. It's nice that they're real, but also it's like, takes away a little bit of the crazy.
And on top of that, I think that the people who come in and maybe are going to be the most chaotic, the format of the show does not really reward that, where that sort of ambition might be rewarded if it is happens to be their gender's chance to pick. But then I think that they end up being punished when the shoe is on the other foot, as we saw here, where Alisa and Sarah, who both, you know, created some drama on the show, end up going out here in this spot.
Yeah, it's reinforcing that it's like you shouldn't do the risky thing that makes good television, because you're going to get dumped next week or in 2 days, whatever happens.
And also, I do think these people are, it seems like they actually are at least wanting relationships. Like, it doesn't, it doesn't strike me as like, oh, they think they're going to get fame from this. So that does.
And because they did
make it less entertaining.
They're on Paramount Plus now. So
I don't understand why you're saying it with that
TV. Prestige TV. Okay. Now, let's just go through the Nathan of it all. Curves, could you explain what goes on in episode 5 between Alisa and Nathan to sort of disrupt the status quo?
Yes. So I was very confused by this because from the start of the episode, when they make the pizza and all that, it seemed like Nathan and Alisa, good. It seemed like they were getting along, seemed like things were progressing. Amazing. Dustin comes in and they send Dustin and Alisa on a date to, I guess, sunbathe, question mark?
Poolside date.
Oh, sorry. It was a poolside date. My mistake.
Same
Very
thing.
Normal date to go on. and they talked. We did not see what they talked about, but Alisa left that date saying, me and Dustin have the same exact personality, which I was very surprised by. And she just took a risk and said, you know what? I'm choosing Dustin.
Well, and I think that she was already kind of like primed for like, you know, the next person that shows some sort of promise. And if by that time I'm not getting enough progress from Nathan, then I might just F around and find out. And so I think that it wasn't even so much the Dustin of it all as it was just like he had enough promise and definitely was interested in her. And it's like, when you're thirsty and you're just dying of thirst and someone hands you a Dasani water bottle, which is the trashiest water of life. It's honestly, and someone hands you a bottle of Dasani and it's like lukewarm too. You are so excited. You're like, yes, I love this. I'm so thirsty. This is what I've been looking for. And I feel like that was kind of, sorry to Dustin for calling you a warm bottle of Dasani
water.
Dasani.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that was where Alisa was at, where she was just looking for any excuse to be like, I deserve better. And ultimately that she is going to regret that. Cause I don't think that her and Dustin had that much in common, except for that they are outgoing ish and they like to travel, which like doesn't even sound like it's, you know, a huge thing.
No, that's not like it. I think that it is important to have, you know, personality traits and stuff in common with your partner for sure. But I feel like a love of travel is not necessarily like the key thing to have in common to make a relationship work long term.
You want to make sure that you get along well enough so that when you travel constantly together because you love travel, you won't want to murder each other.
Most of the time you're not traveling in a relationship. Now I do think that travel can be, you know, very revealing about a relationship, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And possibly a different show. Mm-hmm. Go on to The Amazing Race.
Yeah, The Amazing Race. For sure. For sure. Okay. I also feel like, Kirsten, that I feel like that people got in Elisa's head a little bit about that, you know, is it that, you know, just because she gets like a little bit of attention from Nathan, that makes it all right? Is that enough for her?
Well, I mean, and that's a question she needs to answer. How much attention does she need? How committed does her partner need to be to her? Do they need to like her? Because it doesn't seem like Nathan really does.
No.
Until this episode at the end when he's like upset.
Mm-hmm. Well, and ultimately, I don't think that he was that, you know, it was because he's said on multiple occasions that it feels like he's kind of forcing it with Elisa. Like we clocked this in the last episode that he's just picking her to stay in the game, basically, and waiting for somebody else to come along that, you know, he actually felt a little bit more natural with. And that's essentially what happened. It just so happened that Elisa decided to sever the tie before that person could walk in. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was more so like an ego bruising for Nathan, as opposed to being like, I really liked this girl and like it broke my heart. Yeah. That's my read of it, because he's been saying for a while that he feels like he's forcing
He was shocked to be rejected. So that sets everything in motion for the sail away ceremony, where that probably maybe the biggest shock of the season, maybe going back to the first episode when it was it Elisa also who didn't pick the guy that Jerry O'Connell couldn't believe to pick Nathan?
Our favorite Gaslighter.
Yes, Elisa. She's
former gaslighter.
She's the one who makes these impulsive decisions at the sail away ceremony, and so she decides to say, "Okay, forget you, Nathan. I'm gonna pick Dustin," which then opens the door for Sarah to say, "Okay, well, forget you, Dean. I'm gonna take Dustin."
That blew me away. Elisa picking Dustin, not that did not throw me off quite as much as Sarah's follow-up from being like, I'm like going to take Nathan, who has just been rejected by Elisa, and sorry, Dean, like goodbye to you.
Yes.
That shook me.
Yes.
It is so wild because Dean and Sarah, I don't think we thought they had like longevity to be together forever or anything like that, but it certainly seemed like they were more compatible than Sarah and Nathan.
I didn't get it, and I didn't have to get it for long. I did not understand, and I will move on from it, because none of these people are going to be together. Literally.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a brand new couple. It is going to be Nathan and Sarah. And so Dean and Adiri, we will see you later. Okay. Adiri, we, you know, barely knew you. Dean, sad to see Dean go.
It hurt. It hurt me. Honestly, he got more attractive too, I feel like. Like in this episode where, I don't know, physically, not even usually. I feel like Elisa talking so much about physically what my type. Physically, not usually my type. But I was feeling like, damn, Dean. See you later, I guess. We'll never see you again.
Was it when he cried at the end that made him so attractive?
No,
so
it was when they were waving, on the dock.
Oh, he leaned back. I was
I think I just saw a muscle in his arm, and his eyes were pretty. And I was just like,
okay.
He had he's really nice hair. Again, young pretty energy.
Listen, pretty eyes and a good bicep goes a long way.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that we had a big loss with Dean. I think it would have been boring if Dean and Sarah just stayed together the entire time, but not if they were bickering a lot. If we were going to get more of the pizza drama, at least that's more interesting to me than Marty and Emily. But alas.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Let's pick up episode 6, because it's basically like to be continued, because now Nathan, he's now set off. OK, he's on tilt because, oh, my God, can you believe it? Elisa didn't pick me, but now somehow Sarah picked me. And so Elisa, I think, thought Nathan was going to be off the boat, but he's still here. Mm-hmm. So it's super awkward for everybody else.
And for them and for us.
Yeah,
I thought it was great, though, because we get like Kendra commenting like this is the first time that there's like a couple that's like broken up, but like they're both still there. Although like Jordan and Nicole, I think they were only together for like a day before Kendra came in, and then they broke up and then Nicole stayed. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not the same. This was a little bit more long running. So,
yeah.
Obviously, like a little bit more drama there. But I like that. I think it's so funny when like it's like you're forced to be around your ex.
So I don't know. Funny.
Mm-hmm. As in, as someone who's had to sit with exes at a wedding, like, I think it's funny.
No. Jenny, you were talking about Dean. I had a comparison that I wanted to see if I could run past you for that. When I watched the show, I have often thought to myself that Nathan looks like a muscular Ed Helms. What do you think of this?
Oh my God. Oh my God, Rob.
This is Ed Helms, not Nathan.
Yes.
Yes.
No, but yes.
Maybe.
No, they have. Yeah. They have like a similar essence.
Ed Helms' son. Like, yeah, Nathan.
I really feel like I could see Nathan wearing a t-shirt, button-up, quarter-zip blazer combo, like Ed Helms is wearing in this picture. Why does he have so many layers on?
Must be cold.
I feel like they smile the same too, like that, like where the top lip disappears, kind of smile. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow. Good clock on that, Rob.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, we're going to Crete. Okay. We're going to Crete, and everybody gets together. And so we're going to go out and dress accordingly. Dustin and Elisa, though, even though they're a new couple, not really hitting it off, right?
Well, I'm pretty sure that like Dustin immediately sees the reaction of like Nathan being upset, and then that making Elisa upset because she clearly did not expect that he was going to care and also expect that he was still going to be there. So I think that pretty quickly Dustin is like, okay, well, this is probably not going to work out in my favor. Mm-hmm. So I think that was very apparent early on, and it only gets more apparent as this episode goes on.
Okay. Kirsten, this was where the Real Love Boat tries to do a survivor challenge. And let me just say, I think this is my least favorite challenge that they've done on the show.
Listen, I don't think that they should be in the open water. They're already on the open water on the Love Boat. I don't think they should be out there on these kayaks.
What do we need more boats for?
Safe.
Yeah.
There are too many boats in this episode.
Boats within boats.
Mm-hmm. Yes, too much. It's a conception.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, it literally was a survivor challenge. This is like it's like, take a boat out to a buoy. There's puzzle pieces attached to the buoy. You have to dive and then do a puzzle. That is every survivor challenge.
Yeah. Jenny, if I wanted to watch a CBS reality show about a bunch of people doing like an obstacle course that I don't care about, I could go back and watch Beyond the Edge.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't send that to Paramount Plus.
No, that made it. That made it somehow.
I don't know if that.
Yeah, well, there was no Amazing Race at the time to push to the 9 o'clock time.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to yada yada the whole chat. Right.
I honestly couldn't even tell you what happened. Well, really.
I feel bad for Jerry and Rebecca because this was not their strong suit, but they sort of like got put in the position of having to be Jeff Probst. And they're kind of like calling the challenge, but they were like kind of unsure about like they're a little bit like. Dustin and Elisa, they're that's them, right? They're in the boat, right? They're rowing, I think.
Very charming.
Yeah.
They are very sweet heart. Together. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And they had their little, parasol. Their little umbrellas.
Yeah.
So cute. I truly know. I mean, I know because Jerry said that, like, they basically, like, you know, fell in love all over again on the boat, yes. But I feel like what a fun time for them.
Jerry said at the start of this challenge in Crete, he said, if you can't fall in love here, there's something wrong with you. So I don't think you should shame people like that.
I thought that was very accusatory.
Yeah, who's calling out there? He's calling out Nathan.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't like a subtweet at Rebecca. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. I mean, they fell in love, so I don't think it would be.
Okay.
Can I address something that I've wanted to talk about Jerry?
Yes.
This man loves the word din-din.
Oh yeah, I got it. Okay. So Shaylin and Daniel are going to win the challenge. And he announces,
Shaylin, you will be having din-din with Captain Paolo at the captain's table.
Now, I wasn't sure, Jenny.
The third time.
Okay.
Third
time. I wasn't sure if he said that because it rhymed with Shaylin. Like, I wasn't sure if this was like the.
Daniel and Shaylin, you will be having din din with Captain Paolo at the captain's table.
Now, okay. How bad on a scale of 1 to 10 is it that he says din din? Because I kind of sometimes like really infantilizing things.
Din din.
Okay, here's the thing, it has to be like. Only certain people can pull it off. And in almost any other scenario, if you were a grown man saying din din, I'm like, I'm hopping out of my skin. Get me out. Jerry O'Connell, it works somehow. And I love it. It's adorable. And I'm a person like, I really only like the word dinner. I have a thing against the word supper. This is a thing. It makes I don't like the word supper.
People from Eastern Canada, but okay.
I mean, I'm happy for them. I just personally don't like the word. Din din is hilarious to me, and the fact that I truly believe that Jerry says this all the time because he has now said it in 3 episodes. He must say this all the time. Hey, Rebecca, you want to go grab din din?
I love it. Honestly, I think Jerry O'Connell could literally get away with saying fingies instead of fingers.
Oh, like, my God.
I could see him being like, let's go for din din. I want some chicken fingies. Like, he could do it. It would work.
Getting appies.
I could see that. Yeah. No, yeah, definitely.
And he's like, honestly, probably like, one of only 5 people in the world that I will accept it from.
You can do it.
He just has this like joyous energy about him that I'm like, listen, you are happy and having a good time and you are radiating positive vibes. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
We're going to get everybody back on the boat for a cocktail party. And of course, it's another episode of The Love Boat. We need to bring in some more people to be on the boat. And we bring in 2 new women. And it's Sydney and Tyler. Tyler, she has moved around a lot. She married her high school sweetheart.
2 days after she turned 18, I was like, yep. It should be illegal.
Mm-hmm. Wild. Yeah. And said, this was a mistake. Did not want to do that. And then Sydney, she is a Midwesterner, not super comfortable with the PDAs. So I really not going to be a great fit for the real love boat.
And don't even try Marty.
Yep. And so she's here as well. We have our two new women, but I do like, Kirsten, what they did here in this episode. For the first time, they give the newcomers like an honest chance to be able to make a connection when they send all the other women and they throw them in a cell together, and then at least let the two women have a chance to meet all the guys.
I absolutely loved that they threw all of the women into just like a random cabin, like as if this isn't a giant cruise ship where they could go to like a different deck and have a couple of drinks, have a girl's day, like do an activity, have some fun. No, you will sit in this cabin and you will start talking to each other and spiraling. And then these new girls get to come in and actually meet everyone without having like Kendra shooting daggers or like any of that stuff. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they had done this earlier. It's almost like they thought about it like halfway through the show. They're like, you know what? Okay, we're not getting these new people picked enough. They're not getting enough time to like really mix it up. And Kendra will not let Jordan out of her sight. So we need to find some way to give, you know, the newcomers more alone time with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like they could have done this a little sooner, but I love that they finally figured it out because it was good. You have the women that are freaking out. They don't know what's going on, and it gives everyone time to mix it up.
But the topic of conversation for the women that were locked up together was about the connection really with Nathan, because that Elisa, who's with Dustin, says the person she has the most connection with is Nathan. And Sarah is like, well, excuse me, you didn't pick him. And he picked me. And Elisa's like, well, I think he would pick me. And Sarah's like, no, he wouldn't. He really, trust me, he would not.
Sarah was very self-assured.
I loved it.
Yes.
That Nathan would absolutely pick her. I was mindful. Like, there must be so many scenes of Sarah and Nathan talking that we just never saw. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, I just don't understand how they had any connection.
Yeah.
See, I did not take that as Sarah thinks that Nathan is now more into her. I think that Sarah was correctly seeing that Nathan is not the kind of guy that goes back to somebody.
Yeah.
And she knows that he's like, I'm done. And until they see the connection with Tyler, Sarah's like, he's not going to pick you. So he's going to pick me. And I think that at the time, that was a very accurate assessment. Yeah. And I kind of loved Sarah for it because she was like, I do think so. Because it was also just like a bad look of Elisa to be like, I 2 seconds ago picked this man, Dustin. And now I'm like, oh, oopsie. Yeah. Now I want to take your man that, I mean, listen, they're all at fault because Sarah should not have dumped Dean for
like Nathan shouldn't have still been on the boat for this to be a possibility.
Right.
So something I think that the Real Love Boat does is that I do think they really bury the person who is going home. I thought that both Elisa and Sarah had rough edits in this episode. I thought even Dean did on the episode that he went home. Like if you have like, I don't know what the edgic is of Real Love Boat, but if you are getting any sort of negative content, you are definitely going home.
But yet Marty is still here. Make it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that it maybe if they're like a person that has been there like before, I don't think the newcomers, like, it's not like we got anything like negative content from like Adiri. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I do think that like, you know, we definitely got villain edit for Sarah, especially later in the episode.
Yes.
So I definitely agree with you. And we're getting flaky edit from Elisa being like, I don't know what I'm doing. I changed my mind. So
here's what's something that Sarah said. I want to see if you two agree with this.
America's going to be like, yo, this bitch needs to go.
Was America like that? I mean, what was Canada saying?
I mean, I think Canada was saying, I don't like what you're saying, Sarah. Please don't call women bitches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
even herself.
You're both gonna go. You both gotta go. And you're going to go.
You both are gonna go. Yeah, Nathan is gonna say you both have to go. Okay.
Yeah, Canada only likes nice people. Haven't you heard?
That's true. That is true. I've heard that. Okay.
We are classically nice.
All right. So Tyler is talking to Nathan. Nathan wants to know, well, hey, what's your type? She's like, hey, I'm looking at it. Oh, okay.
What a move.
Boy, can they find one person to come on this boat that doesn't completely go goo goo gaga for Nathan?
I'm right here.
I mean, I feel like Nathan must smell amazing.
Yeah, there's some pheromones
because I don't know why. Like, people seem drawn to him, but we are not getting it through the scene.
Pheromones and lavender.
Ed Helms.
Yes. Oh my God, not the Ed Helms. But yeah, I feel like anything like that where we're watching these shows and we're just like, what is going on? It's because they have like really good pheromones, or they smell really good, or they have some sort of magnetism that is just impossible for us to detect because it makes no sense.
POV, you just woke up in the captain's or the love boat suite, and this is what you look at. This man, Ed Helms.
But also, I think going in and being like, I really like Nathan, is also just a strong strategic decision because he doesn't have something solid, and it seems like he could be swayed.
But this is different than like on Love Island, where the show is happening live and the people coming in usually have seen some of the storylines that are going on and have like some idea of like who people are with and like how secure that connection is. So because people come on to Love Island and are very strategic. They're like, this person can definitely get taken away. Whereas like this on this show, this is not happening in real time. So
what I would say is that they meet Nathan and instantly know he could be taken away. I should go
like, you look
it.
Like you get distracted easily.
They're like, hey, Nathan, over here.
When in reality, also Jordan.
Yeah, yes, that's easy.
No, but Kendra has
easy to turn
leash.
His head.
Yeah. That's why they had to banish her into a cabin. They said,
Listen, we're
trying to make some content here, Kendra. Okay, you need to leave so that we can get Jordan talking about making out with somebody.
Mm-hmm. I did love, it was Jordan and Kendra won the challenge though, right? Or no.
Won the challenge. Shay and Daniel won again.
Right, they won again.
Yeah.
Yes.
At some point, Jordan and Kendra are talking to one of the people and they're just like, yeah, we realized we're both Canadian. And so that's how we really bonded. And I was like, oh, that must have happened at the captain's table. But obviously, that was
Because that was why they picked bacon for their pizza.
Yes.
Which wasn't, I don't even think it was Canadian bacon that they chose. But.
Oh, right.
I don't even like Canadian bacon. Ooh, sorry.
Okay. I'm a lifelong vegetarian. That's so
fine. Take my passport.
Please don't take my passport.
So we get a scene with Sydney and Dustin that it doesn't seem like much. Ultimately, they're going to end up together at the end of the episode, so there must have been a spark here. Sydney is not much of a traveler. Dustin talks about how Elisa is on his mind, but this was enough to ultimately, maybe this was a spite pick, but at the end of the day.
He wanted
to stay.
Yeah.
He wanted to stay. And I think also he knows what it's like to be the new person that is like, you know, not getting a fair shot. And he's like, listen, I'm a new person. She's a new person. Let's just, you know, let's connect. And it's like he either is going to pick Elisa, who is going to continue to be obsessing over Nathan, or at least then he can pick Sydney and it's like, maybe there's nothing there, or maybe they stick together because that's all they have. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't hate it from him, but yeah, I was like, they spoke. What?
I mean, I think he just was like, okay, well, Sarah tried to manipulate me into liking her. Elisa had instantly expressed regret after choosing me and clearly would rather be with Nathan. So why not just pick this girl that I've never met in my life?
Yeah.
Like, she's pretty. She hasn't done anything
like.
To him.
Right.
Yeah. It's the process of elimination. I do think the nail in the coffin was when Elisa came to cabin where the guys are.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think that he was already kind of like, I don't know. And then like she comes in and like
fumbled the bag. Nathan for right.
Yeah, that right. was it.
Yes. She was done. Down bad for Nathan and really cost her game.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Down bad.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it because she seemed nice. But, you know,
I think that's a loss for the show because she was indecisive. Right. She was waffling. Like, you know, we want that content.
Alyssa was bringing way more to the table than, with all due respect to our new person named Sydney, who's not going to bring any drama whatsoever.
No. Hey, you don't know that. She could. She could next week when she gets to choose someone.
Maybe.
But Alyssa was bringing more to the table than I think anyone who's in on the Real Love Boat. Yeah. Like, there's people we like, but they're just not giving us drama.
Honestly, like, I would love, you know, more so than, like, with all due respect to our people that we have on the boat, like, the Bachelor in Paradise of all of the people who are not on the boat anymore, I think might be a sloppier, messier, more fun show.
They should have kept him on the boat.
Brett in. Mm-hmm. Is he well now?
Is he well?
I don't think it's been long 10 enough. Days yet, but it's maybe been fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I would love to see the timeline where, okay, so Alyssa picks Dustin and Sarah still picks Dean. And then, you know, new people come in and Alyssa, you know, eventually is going to put Dean aside or whatever his name is, Dustin aside. Like, she's just going to become indecisive about another person. Yeah. Like, as long as Nathan was there, it was going to constantly be that storyline that she was going to be. But I think that we had the potential for Alyssa to be constantly going back and forth with other people. Yep. And we have now lost that.
We lost that. Also, let me apologize to Sydney because she kind of creates some drama with trying to steal Jordan away from Kendra. They're vibing. It's a little bit of, is the old player back, Jordan?
His face was red.
A little bit, maybe. Yeah. I was like,
yeah, hey. He basically,
they're like, vibing.
So they finish their date. And then I guess like there's like, we got the shot of like, they don't realize the camera is on them because it was like a shot of like them in the hallway where he's like, let me give you another hug. And then he was like, oh, I would just make out with you right now. So I think that he was like being like, you know, old Jordan would just be all over this right now.
He
was really trying to hold up. Old Jordan back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know what happened because I didn't see them fully. But
yeah. I do think, though,
we would have seen it, Jenny, if they had done anything.
If you are committed to somebody, I do think you're still not even supposed to tell another person that you would make out with them.
I mean, I don't think they're in a monogamous, committed relationship. Have they DTR'd? They I don't think so.
Kendra's got him on a leash.
Well, I mean,
Kendra said she was married.
Yeah, Kendra said they're married.
Yeah.
Well, I
don't know.
Kendra needs like a cold glass of better water than Dasani.
Okay. Let's talk about now what's going on back at the captain's table. Okay. Danny and Shaylin, they're going to get, you know, some more just like womp, 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 womp. Something about life. Yeah. Life has challenges in life.
And you're going to be challenged.
You're going to be challenged. Ciao for now.
There's something about the cadence or like of how Paolo talks where I'm like, it's like he talks so low that I'm like, I don't know when the sentence ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's if it weren't for the chow for now, I would have a hard time knowing like, is this the end of the thought? Because I don't know. There's just something about the way that he's
like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. But
at least they showed him.
They showed him.
So they didn't even show him.
It was brief. It was brief. Okay. But they leave the key on the table, the key to the Love Boat suite.
Wow.
Okay. And last time they went there and they laughed and laughed and laughed
all night.
But this time they're going to go back up to the Real Love Boat suite. And according to Daniel, that Shaylin has some sort of plan for him, but he's not exactly sure what it is.
He's told me multiple times, and I quote, I would love to jump your bones right now. Whatever that means, I don't know what jump your bones means. Like, that must be a Canadian term, but I'm pretty sure it's freaky.
Okay, I'm here with two Canadians.
I knew this was coming, Rob. Rob, are you aware with the terminology of jumping someone's bones? Yeah. Is it only a Canadian phrase?
Yeah. So this isn't because she's Canadian. It's because that Daniel is a child.
That's what I thought too. I'm like, the age gap, is it just large enough that Daniel has not been around of age enough to hear people saying jump your bones, and Shaylin is in that pocket of people where that is still a thing that was said and she understands what it means.
I cannot believe that Gen Z killed jump your bones. How dare they?
I guess maybe because if you text like bones, it's like, oh, I'm laughing. It's not like that you're jumping on them.
Well, they love laughing.
They love laughing.
Yeah, they go and laugh all night long. Maybe that's the confusion. Some skull emojis were sent. Shaylin thought it was like, I'm going to jump these. And he was like, oh, we'll laugh and laugh all night long.
Yeah. And so,
I mean, he accurately assessed that it's something freaky.
It's something freaky. Yeah. I just love the you know, imagining that she says to him, like, earnestly, like, oh, I can't wait to jump your bones. And he's like, he does just like nodding, like he doesn't know what it means.
He's
thumbs
scared.
Yes.
He's like, it sounds painful.
Yeah.
Listen, earnestly saying I'm going to jump your bones is right up there with earnestly using the H word for me. So I have supported Shaylin. I love her, Canadian girl. I'm happy for her. This is a bridge too far. If she was truly earnestly saying jump your bones, I do take issue with that.
That's if you ever hear Jenny say she wants to jump someone's bones, it means she's been kidnapped and she's trying to signal that she's not okay.
Yes.
Please help.
He's told me multiple times, and I quote, I would love to jump your bones right now. Whatever that means. I don't know what jump your bones means. Like, that must be a Canadian term, but I'm pretty sure it's freaky.
So she's told him multiple times. It's possible that he's just like not understanding the command. Like if you tell Siri to do something, it's like, I'm sorry, I did not get that.
This is her sign.
It could be
like her mating call.
There is something that him saying, like, she has said to me multiple times, and I quote, it just keeps making me think about the letter to Sammy in Jersey Shore, where it's like, also was grinding with multiple women. Like, I don't, to me, hearing
same
the word
energy.
The way he's saying it is just connecting those two things in my brain. And I think that maybe it's a sign of mental illness. Maybe I've been watching reality TV too long, but this is a little insight into how my brain works.
There's a Venn diagram.
Like, what's going on? The circle.
What's going on indeed? Yeah. Okay. So Sydney is going to be talking about her time with Jordan. Kendra is not happy. I feel like that Kendra is getting a rather invisible edit on the show, other than when she is becoming like getting like crazy possessive edit about Jordan.
It's wild. And I feel like even like the possessive things she says, like, it doesn't really seem, I think, like out of the realm of like a normal like feeling. Like, I feel like she's not saying he can't talk to people. She's not trying to isolate him.
She just said they were married. Yeah.
That is a little far, but she just likes him and is scared that he's going to like another person.
It's not, and like, she'll be off the boat. Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't want to leave.
Yeah, she's got Scorpio energy, I feel a little bit. But,
happy birthday to Kendra.
Yeah, God, and please, the Scorpio season could just end so we can all get some sleep. Please.
There's a certain intensity that comes out.
Yes.
But I do feel like, aside from like that being her storyline where she's like jealous or possessive or whatever, she kind of is like, she does get content where she like comments on like the other relationships or like how awkward things are and stuff like that. Because the one thing I did note was how when Dustin and Adiri came in and Dustin and Elisa were talking and Nathan was just sitting and watching, Kendra said to him, like, she feels like you're not giving her enough and like you need to do something about it. And I think that she would actually like it if you showed some initiative and interrupted them right now. And then like the thing that killed me about that. So she basically was like playing wingman there.
Yeah.
And the thing that killed me about that is that Nathan is so deadpan and honest to like a fault where he like literally tells Lisa, like, Kendra told me that you would want me to do that. Like, did not even try to take any credit for like stepping up. Is like just immediately like, Kendra told me to do it. This wasn't even my idea.
Oh man.
There he is. There he is. My guy.
Yeah.
He comes up and says, Kendra told me you wanted this.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes, yes, I did. I love that. I love
but
that.
It's like, it's not like
give me anything.
I don't want you to do this. I want you to want to do this.
But she doesn't, this is how low her standards were at this point. She's like, yeah, I did. I liked that. And she doesn't care about the fact that it wasn't even his own like volition that somebody told him mm-hmm. to do it. And he openly She's told her that.
Grasping at anything.
Anything.
The bar is in hell.
The bar is in hell.
Okay.
Sure. All right. So we're going to see that Tyler feels like that she also had a connection with Nathan. And now Sarah is a little bit, to worry about Elisa.
I actually think Sarah had like, you know, a good hand on the pulse of like what was going on. I think that what she said to Elisa about like Nathan would pick me at the time was accurate. And then I think that she accurately assessed that Tyler is the kind of girl that Nathan that is going to take Nathan's attention. And where does that leave her? So she, you know, my girl, she tries it. She said, okay, maybe there's a little opening with Dustin here. How do I keep myself on the boat? And I love that we get her actually saying it instead of just like dancing around the idea mm-hmm. that we all know that some of them
Nathan's gonna be dancing later. Yeah.
Yes, right.
Well, dancing is a strong word.
Yes, that's
for
true.
What Nathan was doing.
That's true. Okay. So
just dipping.
All right. Yes. He is as always high on chips, low on dip.
Yes.
All right. So Ezra and Matt, they are going to put in some overtime now. Yeah. Okay. All right. So they're talking and they're going to work out a bunch of different, this is the most they've ever done. Three dates they're going to set up. Okay.
A lot of dates.
How about Jordan and Sydney? Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Yes. So easy. Yes. She's exactly what he wants on paper,
which is apparently just blonde.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting because like that was pointed to several times where it's like, she's a blonde girl. Jordan loves blondes. Why didn't Sarah become an issue? Sarah's blonde.
If that's Sarah has short blonde hair. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're right. There are guys that are just like, I don't like shorter hair.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they can go to hell where the bar is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about Nathan and Tyler? Oh, what about dancing? Oh, yes, that's a great idea. Ezra best. Yes, and let's do it.
Yeah, she must have an improv background, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She's so good. I love when the two of them get together and they plot. Like, it is like a fun little portion of the show.
And it's great, too, because I feel like Ezra is very much like, this is who people will like. This is what I think would work based on people's preferences. I love this. And Matt is like, let's make some drama. I really want to switch things up. I want to test these relationships.
Like, this is going to make this person mad, but it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's true.
And then finally, we're also going to get, what about Sarah? What if Sarah goes out with Dustin?
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
They were trying to throw Sarah a bone. Okay.
Throw her a bone. Don't jump her a bone. Throw her a bone. That's different.
No bones for her to jump.
Okay.
It's the type of thing where you're like, what would it be like?
Yes.
We don't know. Let's find out.
There's a point when Ezra and Matt are talking and they compare it not to a love triangle, but a love square. But Kirsten, they bring five people into the love square.
It's a live pentagon, baby.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone inside the square. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of confusing.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean,
they lost Ezra on that one.
Yeah. Geometry. They are here to do love.
Mm-hmm.
To mix drinks and to organize challenges and to create chaos.
Okay. 100%. So Sarah and Dustin, they're kind of on like a fondue, or maybe it's more of a fondant date together. And Dustin's kind of being led along here. Sarah tells us that really she doesn't have a thing for Dustin, but she wants to stay on the show.
Yes. I love it because then we instantly get Dustin being like, I don't know if I believe what's happening here. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because Sarah came out with like her dossier on him and was like, we haven't gotten a lot to a lot of time to chat, but I know that you are this and this is your job and you've done this in your life. And he's like, whoa, I'm very impressed that you knew all this about me. She's like, yeah, I did my research because I'm trying to get you to pick me.
It's actually a little creepy. It's like you like go on a date with someone that you meet online and you like look them up and you see like, okay, there's their LinkedIn. That's where they work. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is what they do for fun on their Instagram. Here's who their friends are, like all of this, but you don't tell them that you found that information, you know? Mm-hmm. like that's like if you go on a first date, you're like, oh yes, I found your mugshot from your driving offense 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just weird. It's not appropriate.
Yeah.
I just would like to point out I've never built a dossier on anyone.
I feel like you should.
No, you should Google people that before you go on a date with them. I will say that as a safety thing.
Or at the very least, ask Akiva to do it.
No, I've asked Akiva to Google people before and he found nothing.
But
he
is nothing.
Exaggerating his skills.
I thought this was one of his superpowers.
That's what he would like you to believe, mm-hmm. Rob. That's what he'd like us all to believe. But you don't tell them that. You don't tell them that you did that. I actually did know someone who literally made a file folder on someone she was going on a date with. And I was like,
oh,
you should be in jail. Like, you can't do this. Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is already like telling you something. Like the fact that you had to do all this feel like good about this decision is like that says something.
You're not ready. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, you don't tell people what you found on Google.
I wanted to comment on one thing about Dustin because the rest is like kind of unremarkable. But he's very like he loves to mention that he doesn't use dating apps. Like in like multiple scenes, he's like, yeah, the apps, no, absolutely not. Do not do those.
Wants to
no.
be out
like,
in it's the
like,
world, okay, not swiping.
We get it.
Well, yeah, like, what? He's gonna sit there and swipe right 100 times, Jenny? What? It's a waste of time.
Like there's something like pick me about it to me where he's like, oh. Dating apps? Oh, couldn't be me. I like to get into the great outdoors and meet someone barefoot in the sand while I'm like, you know, walking along the beach, getting some fresh air. What a smartphone? Absolutely not. Like, okay.
He has a flip phone at home.
Did Elisa get sucked in by the abs? Is that what happened back in episode number 5? And the nipple ring.
Do abs and nipple rings have that much power? Because to me, they have almost none.
Yeah.
I would be more intrigued by the nipple piercings than the abs. Because I think that more people have abs than nipple piercings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when
do more people have abs or
put
piercings?
That on the census.
Put that on the RENAB census. Absolutely.
Okay. And is it one or the other? Because I mean we saw that what's his
you
face had both. Both. Yeah, Dustin.
Both.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's how you know you're a real threat, except for not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
when you have both.
All right. So then we got to see the dance date for Nathan and Tyler. Yes. Salsa dancing.
So good. Nathan's hips definitely move in a way conducive for salsa dancing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They didn't dance. They just dipped.
Yeah.
Like we didn't actually see any real dancing. At least I didn't notice. It was just more about the dip because the dip leads to the kiss.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the sweeping score of Nathan finally opening up. I thought Nathan's going to win the show.
No, Rob, stop saying things like that.
Why was this? This was like presented.
I don't think he's going to win, but I do think he'll be around for a little bit.
This was like Simba becoming the Lion King.
He's just been through a lot, so they needed to give him a win because he wasn't going home on this episode. He will not start getting negative content until it is his time to go.
Oh my God.
Honestly, like, you know, it's cockroach kind of feeling, because it's like you couldn't get rid of him. Like, he should have gone home when Elisa chose Dustin. And here he is. He's in it for the long haul. And now we're all invested in his story because now he's finally found someone that's truly peeling back the layer.
Who is truly going to pick a different man next week? Let's be
That's
clear.
What I thought Elisa would do. Yep. And she did eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah, she did eventually. Okay. I think Tyler will do it faster.
Then we get another date with Jordan and Sydney. And again, they're both just goofy people. They're bringing out, everybody brings out everybody's goofy side.
I'm so tired of this freaking word.
Yeah.
Like, get these people a thesaurus.
Yes. What do you like, the G word or the H word?
Okay. Honestly, like, I feel like someone earnestly calling me goofy as well would also give me the ick. So, but it's not as bad as someone earnestly saying the H word. So I think that I would still take the G word over the H word, but it's just like,
well, but get a new word. What if someone said the H word, but they were not being earnest? They were just in a silly, goofy mood.
Mm.
Oh God.
So silly and goofy that they were going to jump somebody's bones.
Oh my God. This whole podcast has just turned into you guys trying to trigger me, and I don't appreciate it.
Sorry. Okay. All right. So now that we're going to go ahead and start to get ready for the sail away ceremony. Things are getting tense. I like them. Lock them in these little rooms more on the show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, they obviously are in these rooms probably quite a lot when they have to be kept away from the actual cruise goers. Show us the footage. I know you have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Kendra hates Sydney.
Yeah.
Okay. That much we know.
Well, Sydney is sitting there talking about how much she likes Jordan right in front of Kendra. It's so rude.
Mm-hmm. Tyler also reveals that she went on a date with Nathan. Kind of a shock. What's Nathan going to do?
Everyone's like, excuse me?
Yes. And Elisa's like, you know what? I gotta make my move. Okay. It's live tribal council is going on right now. Okay. She goes. I didn't even know they could go into the men's room, the men's cabin.
No rules, I guess.
No rules.
Who knew? They just needed to try it. They thought they were just playing nice before.
And Elisa barges in and says, hey, can I steal somebody for a sec? Not her partner.
Nope. Not her partner.
Nathan. And Nathan, can I steal you for a sec? Okay.
I would have loved Dustin to stand up there thinking that she meant him, and then her be like,
she doesn't even acknowledge him.
I actually would like to see Dustin stand up, period.
Yeah. Okay. You were looking for me? You were looking for me? And she like grovels, like, I'm so sorry. I made you feel like you were the second choice. Like,
because I did not pick you.
Like, this man gave her nothing the entire run of the show. She finally picked somebody else. And it's like, oh my God, I've made such a terrible mistake that I didn't pick Nathan.
He effed around and found out. Yes. This is the finding out. Mm-hmm.
Elisa finally stood up and then was like, oh, maybe I liked it better when I was sitting down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just seasick.
Elisa should have walked right back into that room and say, Dustin, can I have a word with you? Yeah, Dustin, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry I just walked into the room and talked to Nathan. I should not have done that. That was a mistake on my part.
Yeah.
I should not have ever talked to Nathan that time. I apologize profusely.
This is why you should have lied.
She could have lied and been like, you know, I had a conversation with Tyler and it sounds like that they have something good. And I just felt like, you know, the two of us are going to stay on this boat for a while because I feel really good about what you and I are building. And I just wanted to clear the air with him so it wouldn't be awkward. And I told him I'm wishing him the best. I mean, obviously this is going to get back, but like, girl, throw a Hail Mary because you're not getting picked.
Yeah.
Jenny said,
lie to this man.
Gatekeep, gaslight, girl, boss. And exactly. I am on board. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I will teach the classes. Okay.
Okay.
Please. Oh my God. My toxic fave, Jenny Autumn.
All right. Let's go to Club Six for the sail away ceremony. Upgrade? Upgrade?
I think it's an upgrade. I think it looks much nicer, personally.
Yeah.
Because it was too windy up top, which... Yeah, I mean, you know, okay. I care about
didn't
their
stop
hair.
Them before, but okay.
I know. I think that they kind of eventually were like, okay, this isn't giving us great footage, and like it, the mic is picking up the wind, mm-hmm.
and the lighting also, like they have control over how it's lit. Yeah, like it just seems like
this
a way better place to film
this was
for
fine.
TV.
It was like when they did the nighttime sail away ceremony. There's something a little bit more intense about it when it either happens at night or like in a room where it's like there's a little bit more dark. Like there's something about like a daytime ceremony, like on the top.
They don't have tribal council in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It kind of takes some of the drama away. So I did appreciate the Club Six of it all.
Like getting dumped during the day, I think is way more depressing than in the evening.
Yes. So long with the day. It's like, okay, well, what do I do?
Like, oh, I have to go back to work. Cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk through what happens here at the sail away ceremony. Daniel has the number one pick. He's going to pick Shaylin. No shock there. I do feel like a point in the favor of ping pong balls not being rigged that Jordan gets the number two pick.
Yes. Because they would have just gone next to Marty. Or, you know what I mean?
Who has the number three pick. So
but
they
see,
keep us
here's
on our
the
toes.
Thing. This is exactly what they would do so that we won't believe it's rigged. They throw in a little curveball. So we're like, oh, it must be real. But they did it on purpose.
Okay.
Because if it truly like was random, like we would have the dramatic picks like second and third. And then like Marty's at the end or something. We have to like do all of the crazy stuff and be like, oh, now we have to hear Marty wax poetic about Emily. Like,
it's like,
cry.
Oh, two of the three of you will be going home. And Emily's just standing there like, won't be me.
So I do think that there's a chance they are like, you know, they are organizing it in such a way that they want us to believe that it's random, but it's still not random.
Okay.
Because why else is there no names on the balls? Why are they doing
Jerry
it?
Jerry says there are, Jenny.
No, yeah, in the close-up shot there are, but not when we see them rumbling around.
That is what he is saying. He is saying there are names on the balls. Yes, of course. The ball that you do the green screened shot, I can see the little line around his hand holding the ball with the name on it. This is all post-production. Though there are no balls there's no name on those balls in the little, there's no way.
Jenny,
are they invisible ink?
This conspiratorial side of you, it's unbecoming. You're better than this, Jenny.
How dare you talk to my friend Jenny that way, Rob?
Yes. I don't like being lied to, okay? I can accept that for whatever reason, they felt like having the names on the balls, or they didn't decide to do the names on the balls until later. I don't know what the reason is. I don't care. Just tell me that there were no names on the
balls. I just want to, why are there so many ping pong balls in the thing? That still doesn't make sense
what
to me.
Yeah, what are the names?
There's five people. Why are there 100 ping pong balls?
What happens if you pull a blank one? If they are truly meant to have names on them, how many blanks is Jerry pulling out?
They're all blank from what we have seen. Like, there's no way if there were names on the balls that every shot of the bingo ball thing would have pure white balls with nothing on them. You know,
like it's hard to come by.
Possible.
Yeah.
We need to get post game interviews, Rob. And
Deep dives coming.
We need
deep dives. Tell us? Alisa would tell us the truth. We need
Alisa has no poker face. Yes, that's true.
I also think Nathan would. I think that Nathan also...
Not sure Nathan's going to do a deep dive with us.
I don't know that Nathan knows the show is on TV. Like, I think
it's on streaming now.
This man knows he's on TV.
Okay. All right. So Jordan picks. Jordan kind of gives us a little, speaking of curveballs, Jordan keeps us on our toes. He's going to pick Kendra. I kind of thought he was going to pick that he was going to go with our new person.
Not Sydney. It's Sydney. So I never, obviously going to be Kendra.
Mm-hmm. I never lost hope.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, Jordan and Kendra
are really cute. Like, I think they're cute too. Date
and they're both Canadian. And I think, like, Jordan has said, like, he likes that she's kind of possessive. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? If, like, as long as you're aware of it and this is, you're on the same page, that's fine. That's great.
All right. Then I also want to bring up Marty picked Emily. Very, very quiet episode for Marty and Emily.
Well, it just keeps getting better and better for them. Mm-hmm. But we would never see that.
Yes.
Okay. I think that they're just going to give us content when they win challenges.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, like, they are truly like a jar of mayonnaise, for the, like, excitement wise. Like, they're just not giving, which is fine.
Refrigerated or like, it hasn't been opened yet. Like, actually, like probably hasn't been opened yet.
Well, Marty's easy. Mayo is in the fridge and Emily's hasn't been opened yet.
Yes. Okay. Well, in fairness, when you go to the store, like when it's out on the shelf, like if it's not opened yet, you could leave it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But once you open it,
be refrigerate also.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Martinez? Okay.
Oh God. All no.
Right. It's Miracle Whip, not even Miracle mayonnaise. Whip.
Okay. And then the fourth pick goes to Dustin. And Dustin needs to make a pick. And so very interestingly, Dustin's gonna say, you know what? Give me Sydney.
Why not?
Give me Sydney.
Why not?
Sure. Sure, what? Whatever. Dustin and Sydney, that's a couple now. We'll see them next time. Okay, but now we set the stage. Yes.
Because he said he picked Sydney and he's like, yeah, Sarah just felt like a friendship. It's like, well, if Sarah's just a friendship, well, who is Sydney? A literal stranger.
Yes. He had one conversation with her.
I want love and I don't believe in friends to lovers. I would rather just meet a stranger.
Okay, so this sets up a rather delicious scenario for Nathan here, that, you know, if you're Nathan, nothing really could be better than this scenario where he has the opportunity to pick one person and then knock out two other of their rivals from the competition. You know, we saw Daniel in a similar situation earlier in the show where, you know, he had the thing with Shaylin, but then also Nicole was kind of like, you know, it was a little bit thorny to have her still on the boat. I'm sure he would have loved if she would not have gotten picked. And so for Nathan, okay, Sarah, Tyler and Elisa. And he has a whole big setup. Mm-hmm. And he tells us that it is going to be Tyler. And here's why.
I don't know. I just feel like it's easier for me to open up with her. So I'll say that.
Now, I don't know if you could make that out at the end when Elisa says, are you effing kidding me?
I mean,
I loved that.
it's a beautiful and dramatic moment. And Nathan said, let me send home both of the women who are willing to pick me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that Elisa somehow was still like incredulous when the writing was completely on the wall.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Big block letters saying, Elisa, you are going home. But Nathan and Tyler move on. Sarah was a good sport about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what is she supposed to do? She wasn't there from the very beginning. She shot herself in the foot 2 days ago. Like,
yeah,
she's.
I mean, Dean said it. He said he was going to take her to the end. She messed up. Like, he literally said it.
He did say that.
Dean is waiting.
She
for
did
her.
Screw up. She screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll wait for the David Bloomberg Why Sarah Lost podcast for the official reasons of what rules she broke on the boat. But you got to think that that's probably the most logical explanation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And so, all right, time to shove off. Okay. Get out of here. And then we're going to go next time to Istanbul.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to, everybody at the end of the show, we dance, right?
And because it's the real love boat, it'll always be exciting and new. Good night, guys.
Come on. Always.
In the clear. Yeah.
In the clear. I put that in my notes. In the clurb.
In the clurb. Okay. Listen, everybody who wants some din din.
He can say din din, but he cannot say in the clurb. In the clurb. I'm sorry.
How does he get away with this? It's wild.
I just think someone needs to put their foot down with regards to Jerry sometimes.
Okay. He's trying new things. It's exciting and new.
It's exciting and exciting new.
Some things land, some don't.
Here, Jerry O'Connell's like in the clurb. That is exciting and new.
Okay. Anything interesting from the preview for next week? It looks like things are just going to get keep getting crazy.
So next week, they're going to do a twist where the couple that wins will eliminate a couple from the show rather than the regular sail away ceremony. So.
Yeah. Bye, Dustin and Sydney.
I think that could be
Dustin
interesting.
Dustin and Sydney are in a need-to-win position.
Wait, watch Dustin and Sydney win the competition and then, like...
Yeah.
Make that's their only hope. Yeah, like, they need to win immunity. Right. Like, this is, like...
We kind of have, like, three sort of, like, steady couples. Like, do you think there's an alliance between Daniel and Shaylin and Emily 100%. And Marty and Kendra and Jordan?
If there isn't yet, there will be once this twist is announced.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
All right. So, and then we have like Nathan and whoever he's dating at the moment. And then the like one rotating in and out.
They'll
couple.
Protect Tyler because of Nathan. Cause they're like, oh, they're boys with Nathan. So Nathan gets to stay. None of them feel any sort of like allegiance to Dustin or Sydney. Now, they are absolutely going home if they
do. Are we out of new people? Is that what's going on? Are we headed towards the end game?
I mean, I do think that we're probably headed towards the end game. I think online it was indicating there might only be 8 episodes of this show.
Oh. What?
Which would mean we only have 2 left, but I'm not 100%.
Good thing we didn't quit.
Mm-hmm. My God, it would just be so embarrassing to quit with just a couple of episodes left.
Be very embarrassing for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know for sure. I think that was like, it could also be one of those things where like the Wikipedia or whatever is like, we don't know.
There's a Wikipedia for this show?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Jenny, what's coming up for you this week?
Nothing, Rob. That's
just,
it.
Just waiting. Rewatch the series to get ready for next week's episode.
Rob, let's not get crazy. No, I'm living a good life of a quiet fall, and I'm happy about it.
Yes.
So this is it for me. Mm-hmm. And CBS tried to take this away from me.
They tried.
And I said, absolutely not.
No way.
This is good my luck. One podcast.
From my cold dead
here's
hands.
The thing. I don't understand. Like the people who thought that we were going to stop doing this show. When else do the three of us get to podcast together? This is about more than the real Love Boat. Yep. Come on.
It's about the friends you made along the way.
We're,
okay?
We're like Matt, Ezra, and Paolo just getting together and just talking about the people on the boat.
Literally.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, Kirsten, I know that you have a busy podcast week, as always, because I know that on Friday, you and I will be getting together to talk about this week's Survivor Feedback show.
Ooh. Yes, I'm so excited. I think it's my first time on the main feed talking Survivor other than the countdown.
Oh, so interesting.
I'm very excited. It's going to be great. Also, Mess Magnets was released on Wednesday this week. A very episode. I'm really proud of the name this week, Selena Gomez.
That was a great one. Yeah.
Yes. I also am talking about Tuca and Birdie over on BoJack HorsePod, and I guested on Buffy Boyfriends, which is a podcast where Sam Stanish and his boyfriend are watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer together. So, big week for me, and you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What.
Okay. All right. Thank you all so much for joining us once again to talk about the real Love Boat. We are still having fun watching a very prestigious show on streaming now, and thank you for joining us here, and if you are out there one of the real ones sticking with the real Love Boat, please let us know. Okay. We are on Twitter, maybe on what's the new thing, what is it called, the monolith.
We're not going on Mastodon. It's not happening. It's too complicated.
It's too complicated.
My brain is too smooth for Mastodon. You will not.
I couldn't figure it out. I was like, it was like a puzzle.
I will revive my MySpace before joining a new social.
Okay. I think I might go back to Tumblr. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. thank you so much for joining us here for another episode of The Real Love Boat. Take care, and we're going to shove off. Bye.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.